Does it seem like every time you turn around or open up your wallet, you're shocked at the changes that have directly impacted your life in just 2.5 years? There's something that you can do to protect the value of your hard-earned savings and retirement accounts. Contact the folks at American Hartford Gold and talk to them about your options in diversifying your assets. Empower yourself with opportunity. Hold on to the fruits of your hard work and protect your future. So do what I did and call the only precious metal dealers I trust, American Hartford Gold. Diversify your portfolio with physical gold and silver delivered right to your door or inside of your IRA or 401k. American Hartford Gold is the highest rated firm in the country with an A+ rating from the Better Business Bureau and thousands of satisfied clients. Call today and they'll give you up to $5,000 of free silver on your first qualifying order. Call American Hartford Gold today at 866-887-1188. That's 866-887-1188 or text Dana to 998899. That's 866-887-1188 or text Dana to 998899.
I am directing our House committee to open a formal impeachment inquiry into President Joe Biden. This logical next step will give our committees the full power to gather all the facts and answers for the American public. It's exactly what we want to know, the answers. I believe the president would want to answer these questions and allegations as well. You know, the months that we were gone in the weeks, House Republicans have uncovered serious and credible allegations
I hope they actually
into President Biden's conduct. Taken together, these allegations paint a picture of a culture of corruption. Now, here's what we know so far. Through our investigations, we have found that President Biden did lie to the American people about his own knowledge of his family's foreign business dealings.
I hope that they actually do something. Although, I don't want you to get your hopes up, because even if they actually do something, as we've talked about before, the prosecution of anything that they find is actually limited to the House. Well, it's limited to the Senate. I mean, they can recommend any kind of trial, they can put forward evidence, they can do impeachment, they can do all that stuff. But, you know, ultimately at the end there, it is entirely left to the devices of the Senate, really. And so that's, you know, we'll see. I don't know. Like, I mean, what can they do? A lot of people have been giving them a lot of trash, I think, for a lot of trash talk, which, you know, fine, let them, you know, they deserve it. Let them take it. But at the same time, I think that there's only so much that I'm not defending them. I'm just telling you the reality of the situation. I didn't pick the Senate. I didn't pick the Senate makeup. If I had my way, the Senate makeup would look a hell of a lot different. But I have like even people in my family that say, oh, well, you know, what are the Republicans going to do? They got to do something. OK, well, you know, they are, but they don't run the Senate, too. That's one of the frustrating things about this. And that's one of the things that has to change. Welcome to the show. Top of this first hour, and it is Tuesday. Oh my gosh, it feels like a never-ending Monday. It is Tuesday, and we're going to dive into some of the latest stuff here. I hope you signed up for the newsletter over at Substack. Like I said, I send stuff out to you every single day on that, and you kind of know what some of what we're going to be hitting as well with all of this. You kind of have an idea as to what we're going to be touching on. So all of this, you know, if this ends up, you know, if they end up doing anything about, I mean, because they, the impeachment inquiry, they got a lot there, and that's it, and they're following the right path. We talked about this, I think, before they even went to recess, before Congress went to recess, because they were going to launch this inquiry, and it was something that Rand Paul had discussed as well, and they had said that that. They wanted to make sure that they're following all of the proper steps and not be like how the Democrats were with the previous president, because they didn't follow anything. I mean, my gosh, you remember, they didn't even have a criminal charge. They did not even have, there weren't even criminal charges. I'm looking back over some of my notes on this. They have no criminal charges. They didn't even actually go through the full inquiry process. They just threw whatever out there, and that's kind of how they did it. And so Democrats, they really, I think, burned through any remaining capital that they had with voters on this. They burned through any remaining capital that they had because now people don't trust the process. They think it's been so highly politicized. That's kind of a problem of, you know, when you're doing this, you highly politicize it. Nobody wants to take it seriously. Republicans don't want to run into that same issue. So I get it. You know, I get it. But, you know, we'll see what comes of it. So that's just one of the things that we're following, this impeachment inquiry that was announced this morning. And you heard Speaker Kevin McCarthy. We knew it was coming. It's the, you know, and they'll go through it. And I'm sure they're going to find stuff. I mean, my gosh, who wouldn't? I'm totally sure they're going to find stuff. But then it comes down to, well, you have to have the Senate then prosecute it. So we'll see how that goes. All right. So a couple of other things that I want to hit as it, kind of pertaining to the left. And then I want to get into some of this other stuff. I am still shaking my head as to the timing that the administration had yesterday with some of the things that they announced. So you had the first thing that they announced. I think, how did I list this? Then? Oh, I think I said, did they not check the date? So you had the Iran announcement, the $6 billion released that was in frozen Iranian funds, and we are now confirming this advance prisoner swap deal. We're moving to advance. How stupid is this sentence? The U.S. moves to advance a prisoner swap deal. So we're doing it or we're not doing it? Like, what's it? We're doing it. When releasing $6 billion in frozen Iranian funds. They said it's five Americans detained in Iran by issuing a blanket waiver for international banks to transfer $6 billion in frozen Iranian money from South Korea to Qatar without fear of U.S. sanctions as part of the deal. And the administration has agreed as part of it to release five Iranian citizens held in the United States. Why are they getting all this stuff? I mean, we're releasing prisoners and we're not going to sanction some cash transfers. Now, they said, well, the waiver was expected. You know, we had announced previous outlines of the deal. But they said that apparently Congress wasn't informed of this until yesterday. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Nice going on literally doing this on 9/11. But Dana, what does it have to do with Iran? Well, then you should probably ask some of my friends who lost their legs because of mines and other targeted IEDs that were put out there by Iran, like while they were out prosecuting the conflict in Afghanistan. You should go ahead and ask them about all that in Iraq and elsewhere. So that was just great timing on 9/11. Great timing. And then, as if that wasn't enough, can we go to audio soundbite one, please? Because this really started blowing up. This dude waited 7 hours yesterday. The president of the United States waited 7 hours before saying anything about 9/11, before showing up. And then this is what he does. Listen to this.
To renew our sacred vow, never forget, never forget. We never forget. Each of us. Each of those precious lives stolen too soon when evil attacked. Ground Zero in New York. And I remember standing there the next day and looking at the building. I felt like I was looking through the gates of hell. It looked so devastating because the way you could stand.
You know, he copied Hillary Clinton on that. She had said that when she was going over, I think, what was it, to Afghanistan or Iraq, it was like the gates of hell. But he wasn't there. In fact, he was in Washington, D.C. He wasn't there the day after 9/11. He was in Washington, D.C. He was in the Senate. He was in Washington, D.C. He wasn't there. Why does he have to lie about this stuff? Because it cheapens any sentiment that he thinks about expressing. It cheapens the sentiment. I mean, I'm amazed at this. This is how he chooses to mark 22 years after 9/11 is through this way. It's amazing. And I just, why? Wasn't he told to stop making things up? He was told at one point to stop making things up, to stop embellishing stories, to stop saying that his son, his oldest son, died everywhere except how he did. Just stop. Just quit plagiarizing other people's experiences and trying to cheapen sentiment by making up stories. But he's still doing it. And people were outraged yesterday. There was, I mean, he had been told previously to stay away. And now families have skewered the White House because literally right before, the day before, he goes out and makes that remark about 9/11, he had been meeting with the Saudi crown prince, shaking his hand. This was after he had said he was going to make the Saudis pariahs, et cetera, et cetera. You knew he wasn't going to do that. But then they do this. He does this. I'm telling you. There's a reason why his poll numbers are the way they are, and we're going to dive into all of that here coming up. But there's a reason why they are like that. But 7 hours. It took him 7 hours. Now, a couple of other things. This is going to be entirely different. I saw this headline last night, and I'm fascinated with the obstruction from the left into against America becoming energy independent. So one of the things we've talked about on the program a lot is, you know, obviously gas and oil. I think that that's fossil fuels are where it's at. And I think it's there ever replenishing. And a lot of people just don't understand how geology works. And it's affordable. It's inexpensive compared to rare earth elements. And we've developed the cleanest extraction, I mean, more so than any other nation on the planet. And we were doing that before the government decided it needed to tell companies to do that. But listen to this. So this headline, the world's biggest lithium reservoir was found in a super volcano. McDermott Caldera is the name of the super volcano. It is located in Nevada. And it formed about 16 million years ago, they say. We've had a gold rush. Now we're going to have a lithium rush in Nevada. $1.5 trillion worth of lithium that powers tech. You have to have it for everything, for your green new agenda. You have to have it for all your tech. The tech bros need it. So now there is a lithium rush in Nevada. And the state has seen somewhere around 17,000 mining claims. This actually could upset China's position as the number one owner, you could say, of rare earth elements. So geologists think this is the world's largest lithium deposit, 40 million metric tons. And as of 2022, get this, the average battery grade lithium carbonate price, $37,000 per metric ton. So that's almost $1.5 trillion worth of lithium that's in Nevada. Now, there's Lithium Americas Corporation. It's Canadian-based. They want to start mining as early as 2026. But guess what? They are entirely tied up in bureaucratic BS. Is it? So it may never happen. You don't know. China's dominated this market because 90% of lithium is coming from China. We could totally upset that. Now, if you believe in green energy and the green new agenda, why would you be against? And again, our methods are cleaner. Why would you be against the United States mining it itself? I mean, our methods are cleaner, but not as clean as fossil fuels. We'll talk more about this as we get moving, because I find this fascinating. And I think it puts Democrats in an awkward position, too. How serious and how committed to you are you to energy independence? And then also, I mean, do you know how much more affordable this would be if we were able to do it? Goodness. And we'd upset China's dominance. But does the administration want to do that? Because they've made money off of making them dominant. Folks, I have something to offer you today, something absolutely free from Hillsdale College. Hillsdale College, a great American college with a huge and effective educational outreach effort on behalf of liberty, is giving away free copies of the Constitution and Declaration of Independence in honor of Constitution Day this month. Hillsdale's immediate goal is to put a pocket Constitution into the hands of 1 million Americans who do not have one. And if you already have one, you can order one for a young person you know who doesn't. But this offer is only for a limited
limited time. So claim your free pocket-sized constitution today at dana4hillsdale.com. Every American should be familiar with our nation's founding principles of liberty, and how better to learn that than reading America's founding documents? To have a free copy mailed to you, visit dana4hillsdale.com and complete a simple form. They'll put it in the mail for you with free shipping. And again, this offer expires soon, so claim your free pocket constitution today at dana4hillsdale.com. That's dana4hillsdale.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
This describes my entire mood about towards everything and everyone in my orbit today. The headline, orangutan launches possum out of enclosure at the zoo as horrified visitors scream. Ladies and gentlemen, we would call this yeeting. The nature's not healing. It's not. An orangutan at an Australian zoo horrified visitors when it straight up yeeted a possum right the hell out of the top of its enclosure after the possum had invaded its space. There's literal video of it showing the possum hurtling through the air and then just vanishing from view after being pitched from a tall metal tower. It's at the Perth Zoo. This is the funniest headline I've read today. People are screaming in the background. And then the orangutan emerges from the enclosure, like it's checking on where it actually yeeted said possum. Now, when asked about what happened, a Perth Zoo official said, "I would presume the possum did not survive the fall." And they said that at first the orangutan was throwing the possum around on the ground, and then it just yeeted it right out of its top of its enclosure. Now, just so you know, possums eat ticks, and they're actually really nice little weird, disgusting-looking little creatures. And I kind of feel bad for it, and I don't like the orangutan. I think the orangutan's a jerk. So let's just establish this right now. Also, an MGM cyber attack yesterday left thousands of guests on the Vegas Strip locked out of their hotel rooms at places like the Bellagio and Mandalay Bay. Even the casino slot machines went out of service. Do I believe that all Bama fans are racist? Heck no. Do I believe that the morons caught on tape for that is now going viral should have their A double snakes beat? Yes, I do. Because some Bama college football fans are embroiled in a racism row. There were like two people on video yelling at some of the Texas players who have the Texas Longhorns. This is on Saturday. They happen to be black. It was Crimson Tide versus Longhorns. And there were like two people on the video that were being absolute jackwagons, and I totally would kick in the neck. But that's not indicative of literally everybody. Can we stop that? Can we just please stop with that? We got a whole bunch of stuff on the way you don't want to miss. Stick with us.
Black Rifle Coffee Company, together with the Boot Campaign, are on a mission to raise $1 million to change the lives of veterans. Now through the end of the year, when you grab a can of ready-to-drink coffee, you can help contribute to making this massive donation possible. The Boot Campaign is one of the most renowned veteran-focused nonprofits in the country, working tirelessly to provide life-changing aid and benefits to service members and their families. Black Rifle ready-to-drink coffee is available in several great-tasting flavors at blackriflecoffee.com/Dana or at convenience stores nationwide. Whether it's the berry mocha, vanilla bomb, or espresso salted caramel, every can helps. Fuel your caffeine fix while making a huge difference in the lives of veterans and their families. Black Rifle Coffee Company is committed to serving the veteran community, and with your help, we can all continue to make a difference. Let's raise a can together and keep fueling Americans for a good cause. Visit blackriflecoffee.com/Dana. That's blackriflecoffee.com/Dana.
Flashback to Obamacare? Health insurance costs for employers are set to take their biggest jump in years. How does this affect you? Good luck getting a raise. With inflation still high, don't expect a thank you card from those who got subsidized health insurance.
Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
YouTube, Facebook, or DirecTV. If you're looking for the number one afternoon host in the country, you've found her. Download the podcast every day to catch up. The Dana Show.
Well, look, I mean, this is a guy that's stumbling around the world stage. He's projecting weakness. I think our enemies have already taken advantage of that. They're like, it's likely to invite even more problems around the world. And so, you know, it's sad, but I think it's obvious that he's been struggling for quite some time. And you're right. The corporate press is going to do whatever they can to run interference for him. And I also look and think about who's waiting in the wings with Kamala. And I think you're right in terms of the aptitude, even though she's a lot younger, I think she's basically been his impeachment insurance, because people know no matter how bad Biden is, nobody wants him.
So right. That's so right. Ah, I love it. Oh, my gosh. It's so, I thought that was spot on. And he's absolutely right. This Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, it is Biden's impeachment insurance. I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to jump off my roof and break my legs to nubbins if I have to deal with Kamala Harris taking Joe Biden's place. God help us all. Welcome back to the show. You're not lovable. You're just plain old curmudgeon. Dana Lash here at the bottom of this first hour. Yeah, I got to tell you, I just can't, because it's, you know what it'll be? You know what it would be? It would be nonstop female empowerment and lady bits and all this other stuff. And I am so done. It's making me hate my own sex. I'm just done with it. I'm so done. I just, no, stop. Can't take anymore. We're fed up. Golly, it's the same crap from these broads that I've been dealing with since I was a little kid. At some point, you got to get new chants, broads. You got to get new chants. You got to get new things to get mad about. No one's oppressing you. You're oppressing good taste and common sense. You're oppressing my ability to not hear your screeching, caterwauling day in and day out. Oh my gosh. Get some box wine and STFU. I'm done. Okay, I got it on my system for right now. Kane's not here, so he can't do nothing. Catch me. You can't. Juan can't get over here fast enough. And Steve's in D.C., so he's not going to do nothing. Sorry, Steve, but we all know it's true. You can't reach me over here. All right, so with this, I just can't hear it. I just can't. I don't care about anything else. I don't want to hear it just because of that. I don't want her running just because of that. Now, whether or not Biden makes it to his first primary or caucus, it's at this point, pretending that there is nothing wrong with this dude is a fool's errand. Just acknowledge that he is barely sentient. Just acknowledge it. I don't know why the left is having such a problem with this. We see it. You guys look ridiculous by not acknowledging this. It makes it look like you can't judge whether or not someone is competent enough or not. I can't. All right, I got a couple of other things that I want to hit on as well. I do think that they're trying to do with Kamala Harris a salvage attempt on her political perception. I don't want to say record, but her perception overall. Because she's not viewed favorably. And she's doing these weird campaign, not really even campaign appearances, these just like weird appearances where it's mostly centered around like personality and not really about policy. She's not talking about policy or anything else. And so it seems to me like they're trying to rehabilitate her perception from the public. I don't know. I just audio soundbite 10. What's her face over at the shoe on the TV? I don't care about any of these females enough to learn their names. So let's not audio. This is audio sound. Audio soundbite 10, please, sir.
What kind of is still strange to me? Why is Kamala so dangerous? Right.
That's why do you think she's so dangerous?
I don't know, Whoopi. That's kind of offensive to me. And the other thing is, she's unprepared. Kamala Harris, by the way, was the first woman elected DA of San Francisco, the first woman to be Attorney General of California. She's the first female vice president. She's been on the job doing a damn good job. And I am so tired of people questioning her qualifications. The woman is ready to lead if she needs to lead. But I don't think Joe Biden's going anywhere because I see him on his bike in Delaware. I can't bike that much.
Then you really suck at biking. I mean, he barely rides a bike. He just kind of coasts and then he falls off if it slows down. You must really suck at being on a bicycle if you think that he's better than you. Let's not go to like these ridiculous, absurd means to try to just stop. They just think it's her turn. That's what it is. They can't name a single accomplishment that she's done. They just think it's her turn. No one's scared of her. Let me modify that. We're not scared that she's powerful, because she's not. She derives her power from the male Democrats that have been accommodating her. Get mad at me all you want to, but you know it's true. Don't think that the good old boy party isn't a good old boy party, because it is. She's not fearsome in that she is a fighter for policy. She will absolutely kowtow however she needs to for professional gain. You remember this from the primary. I mean, she went out there and basically said that Joe Biden is a Klan member. She called him a racist and everything else. She shared the story when she had to, during segregation, when she was on the bus as a kid, and she blamed him because he was a big proponent of it. And she just, you know, was tearing him up during the primary. And then when her negatives were still as low as they were with her own base, and she wanted to continue because she didn't really have a political career after that, and they offered her the spot of VP, she took it. All the other criticism and the serious disagreements that she had with Joe Biden were thrown to the side after that. I mean, when you disagree with someone on so fundamental an issue as the ones that she disagreed with him on, it doesn't look anything other than personally, professionally advantageous to do what she did. And I just think you lose a little bit of the sting. No, people are afraid because she's wholly incompetent and she can't even string together two words without saying unburdened by what has been, or some other canned phrase that she uses when she needs more time to process things in real time. No, she's not dangerous. She's not anything like that. Okay, a couple of things still. Did you hear about the 6-year-old that was suspended for using a finger gun? This is Bagley Elementary School in Jefferson County, Alabama. It is in Alabama. Alabama, why are you having this issue? Alabama, why are you having any issue like this? The little kid, JB, his dad's Jared Belcher, 6-year-old, attends Bagley Elementary School in Jefferson County, Alabama, says the school overreacted to a game of cops and robbers. They said that the child committed a class 3 infraction on September 1st because he used his fingers to shoot at another student. In a letter that was sent to school officials, Belcher's attorney demanded that the school immediately and publicly confirm it's going to remove any such record. And they had Gun Owners of America, they partnered with the attorney and Bama Carey to send a letter to school administrators. They said that the students were playing during recess, and they made pretend guns with their fingers and said bang, bang at each other. And some busybody Karen with a whistle on a rope swinging it around during recess time decided to lose her britches over it, and they got the kids in trouble. They said that the play did not threaten any other students. It didn't disrupt anything. They were literally on the playground. It was during recess. Oh, but they had to report the finger guns to the school administration. Whereupon Donna Page, assistant principal at Bagley Elementary School, she decided to save everyone from finger guns. They said that he committed a threat infraction. What? They were playing. They said they can't use any, they can't cyberbully or intimidate or blah, blah, blah. They can't threaten to inflict harm involving the use of any kind of knife, prohibited object, et cetera, et cetera. That it is the dumbest thing I've ever read. These teachers should be publicly mocked. The school administration should be publicly mocked. So they charge the 6-year-old that's essentially the equivalent of a felony because of finger guns. Now, they allowed him to return to class, but the attorney, which I agree, says it's too little too late. And this is, it's just asinine, absolutely asinine that they did this. And they labeled him as a potentially dangerous student. You know, that could, they, if they don't expunge it, it's going to follow that child all throughout school. This is zero tolerance with some stuff like this. A lot of people have lost common sense. How many people have used finger guns? My gosh. they're 6 years old. You're teaching fear and you're foisting your adult baggage onto these kids. I think I've told the story before when one of my kids got in trouble. School in Texas. Because they were drawing army guys killing terrorists. Him and a friend. And the army guys had guns and they had guns with it. And the teacher just thought it was just, that you shouldn't. And it was like a free period. And they had finished their work. They weren't bothering anybody. Army guys in fatigues in the battlefield shooting and killing terrorists. And the teacher took exception to it. Sent it to the principal's office. And I just about lost my ever-loving mind on this teacher. So we went up to school, which is the last thing any school official wants to see. Because I'm only going to visit you if there's hell to raise. You know, I'll send you donuts and some coffee and stuff, you know, if I feel like y'all having a bad time or it's finals week. But if I show up at your office, that means hell's coming with me. So we roll up to the principal's office. They already knew. They're like, we know. I'm like, no, I don't think you do, because this teacher's still here. I also have a zero tolerance policy as a parent. I have a zero tolerance for absolute bat crap insanity from busybody teachers who are too stupid to have sense. I have zero tolerance for that. I have zero tolerance for the bigotry that is in the heart of this teacher that is going to follow my child for the rest of the quarter and semester. So what are we going to do about it, principal? So that was pretty much the response. That teacher wasn't there. Didn't finish out the year at the school. I'm not saying it was because of me, but it may have been all the other parents that I had also reached out to. But I just don't deal with that, and neither should these parents. Kudos to this father for going full scorched earth on this, because he should. The only way you're good, this is bullying of a different sort. This is threatening and intimidation of a different sort. When you are brainwashing kids into thinking that they got to walk on eggshells because you're going to have some, pansy teacher who's going to freak out over finger guns, that's by itself intimidation and teaching fear. And it should be met with scorched earth rebuttal. So good on this father for doing that. Yeah, I don't think it's going to be done until whoever decided to report them is gone. Because you don't want that to follow any other kids. And that should also be a part of that teacher's permanent record, too. This goes both ways.
For 10 years, Patriot Mobile has been America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. And when I say only, trust me, they're the only one. Glenn and the team have been great supporters of the show, which is why I'm proud to partner with them. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, giving you the ability to access all three major networks, which means you're getting the same coverage you've been accustomed to without funding the left. And when you switch to Patriot Mobile, you're sending the message that you support free speech and religious freedom, the sanctity of life, the Second Amendment, military veterans, and first responders. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Keep your number, keep your phone, or upgrade. Their team will help you find the best plan for your needs. Just visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT and get free activation when you use offer code Dana. Join me and make the switch today. That's patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT.
Catch the Dana Show noon to 3 p.m. Eastern on DirecTV Channel 347.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
This is really about accountability. And I applaud the governor when he said that he wanted to appoint, if there were a vacancy, of course there's not, but should a vacancy occur, that he would appoint an African-American woman without conditions, no strings attached. And appointing, quite frankly, someone to hold the seat just until an election is conducted with the commitment not to run for the election is really, truly insulting.
When are you not insulted, Barbara Lee? She's not like, because I, who's the snack cake lady? Sarah Lee, that's right. Not Barbara Lee. Barbara Lee's not giving you snack cake. She's just giving you racial division. I'm all for Democrats fighting each other. She's mad at Gavin Newsom, because Gavin Newsom apparently made promises, and I don't know if he's going to keep them or not, but it doesn't really sound like it. So I am all for them fighting each other. Bang a gong, get it on. Let's have it. I'm all for that. We'll just sit back, and we'll make some popcorn, and we'll just sit here, and we will We'll do the commentary for it. That's what we'll do. We will do the commentary, and we'll just enjoy it. We'll like Mystery Science Theater 3K it. You know, we'll watch this all play out, and we'll just, you know, that's what we'll do. Or we'll call it like a UFC match. I mean, who knows? I'm all for them fighting each other over this. I don't know. I think it's going to get weirder as the election cycle now gets fully underway. Usually it doesn't really kind of kick off until the Iowa State Fair, but it's still kind of light after that. But as you know, everything's weird now. It's the longest election season ever, but it's going to get weirder. Just going to let you know. And I'm fascinated to see how they're going to deal with this marshmallow McUnity that they got. President Daddy showers in the White House. How are they going to deal with this? Because every single guy, doesn't it seem like every appearance that he makes, it just gets worse? Every public appearance that he makes, every speech that he gives, it seems like it's just gradually getting worse. I know that, and I don't like to speculate about people's health and all of this other stuff, but we've all had those family members. We all know what we know. We see what we see. I mean, you can tell that with him. It's going to be very difficult for them. There's no way that he can campaign the way that he needs to, and he doesn't have the surrogates to go out there and do it for him, frankly. And nobody's excited about him. Because you can't get excited about him. It's kind of crazy. So coming up next hour, the New Mexico governor has responded to, she's now fighting with the police, and she's fighting with basically everyone who's criticizing her idiotic and unconstitutional edict that bans all firearms in her state. And she's taking issue as well with the Bernalillo County Sheriff, telling him that you don't get to tell me what is or is not constitutional. And she's getting blowback, and now she's whining because she's getting blowback. I don't know. So we're going to talk about that. Also, Greta Gerwig is apparently mad that men are turning Ken from her Barbie film into an icon. The quote is, You spend so much time crafting a film for women and girls, and you inspire them, and then people appropriate it. I mean, that's apparently the headline. Are you serious? We're going to talk about that, the gun stuff, so much more. Stay with us.
It's called genderqueer. Okay? Let me read an excerpt from that. Quote, I got a new strap-on harness today. I can't wait to put it on you. It will fit my favorite dildo perfectly. You're going to look so hot. I can't wait to have your in my mouth. I'm going to give you the of your life. Then I want you inside of me. End quote.
You know what's so funny about this? So this is, first off, you guys know who this is. This is Senator Ted Kennedy. Could have been, actually. Senator John Kennedy out of Louisiana. And he's there. They're doing this hearing on books and schools, et cetera, et cetera. And they had the Secretary of State in Illinois who came to speak out against it. And this is this book that's called Genderqueer. It's not just one book by itself. It's this book and tons of other books like it that are not only in, and not just in the system online, but on shelves in junior high school libraries. In fact, it was the school down the street from where our studio is that a mutual friend, or a woman whose daughter was in junior high at the time, pulled that book off of the shelf in her library, junior high, took it home. And that's how the mom found out and took pictures. And that was when it first went viral. I cannot play the audio uncensored on my radio program because the FCC will drop the hammer and program directors around the country will freak out. But Democrats are fighting to keep this book and many others like it, not just on the library shelves, This book and others like it were also on reading lists that were recommended. That's a whole other story. Maybe you missed it, but they were. Welcome back to the program. Top of the second hour with you. I'm Dana Lash, your lovable curmudgeon. And the wild thing with this is that he can't, I mean, the left is freaking out because he read it. And they're saying, oh, this is so disturbing. Can you believe that he read this? It's so disturbing. Ooh. If you think it's disturbing that anyone's reading it, then why are you not disturbed that it's available for kids to read? I can't tell you the number of people that I've come across on social media that didn't believe me until I shared photos. In fact, some of the photos were the ones that my friend literally had texted my phone that ended up first making the rounds. And then other parents started going and finding out that if the books weren't on the shelves in their library, they absolutely were in the system, and they were on some actual scholastic-y reading list that came recommended. That's all true. I need to know, which is it? There's one of our listeners. He goes by Le Beard Guy. He goes, your kids must have access to this book. Okay, let me read some of it to you. They're out of line. Get out of here. You're a freak. I mean, that's literally how the left is reacting to this. So which is it? Do you think that kids should have access to this book? Or do you think that this book is too crude and age inappropriate for even a lawmaker to read on the floor? Like, we didn't even know if we could. Actually, there was like a part of that audio we didn't even know if we could play. We're like, we don't know. That's a question, actually, that I never thought Steve was going to ask me off air. And I'm like, I don't know. That's the, because I'll tell you yes. So I'm the absolute wrong person to ask if, you know, the question, can I say this on air? Because I will tell you yes every time. But if he can't read it, you should see. Oh my gosh. I wish I could show you all of the stuff that I pulled up. The left is losing their minds at Kennedy right now because he read it. They said that he's disturbed. They say that, they're really going at him. He's disturbed. He's really having one today. They're livid that he read it, and they're acting like he's a disturbing freak because he's reading a book that they're fighting to keep in libraries. He's been reading, by the way, that's not the only book that he's been reading, a bunch of different excerpts of these books. See, that's the thing. They're not even actually banned. That's such a misnomer. Can we just correct that real quick? This is not like what the left did with Dr. Seuss. Like, the left legit wanted Dr. Seuss out the school. They did not want them even on a list of being available and accessible in the school. They wanted them out of the school. Same thing with like Mark Twain and all of that. They wanted them banned. The parents here never said to ban the books. That's a fact. And the parents, the Keller School that I was talking about, they never said to ban the books. What they said is that they are age inappropriate. And any book, they said that, and it wasn't just, and this is the other thing the media doesn't touch on. It's not just books that deal with sexual nature. It's also drugs and violence, like serious violence and drug usage and stuff like that. They said that, why is it that you're ignoring that we've asked for, you know, make us aware and make sure you have our consent before talking to our kids about all of these subjects, not just one, you know, that we're the parents. I mean, it's age. They do that, especially with family planning classes. And by family planning, I mean teaching kids how babies are made. Like, they go through the whole science of it. Everybody's been through that class in junior high where you sit there and you learn the names of stuff and all that. It's a very science clinical approach. Parents were always, I remember when I was in school, we had to bring a form home to our parents. And if a parent wanted you to opt out of the class, then you could opt out. And they still do that in schools today. I don't know why that's not applicable to this book, or why the left acts like you can't apply that to this book or to talking about recreational drug use or talking about violence. And that's the other thing. Parents never wanted anything banned. They just said, we want to be, A, made aware before you begin any kind of study in using these materials. We want to be aware and we want to have consent because we are the arbiters of what is or is not age appropriate for our kids. I have no problem with that. That's not banning. And if people think that that's banning, you're a moron. You are. I mean, I hate the fact that your parents gave you a trophy for existing, but you're a moron. I mean, if you really believe that those two things are the same, the left literally demanding that, like Mark Twain and the Dr. Seuss books, not just be not on the shelves. It's not even about getting parental consent. It was about literally removing them from the database of books available, not ever having them on the shelves and not offering them as an option to any student. Whereas this was parents saying, there are age-appropriate things and age-inappropriate things, and we consider this age-inappropriate. We do not want our children to have access to it at this time because it's not age-appropriate. One, banning something because you hate the author or and you don't want it anywhere near your kids is one thing. Saying that we're not demanding you take it out of the system, we are demanding that you get parental consent before showing this to our kids are two different things. And it's about age appropriateness. And apparently Congress doesn't even think that, you know, Senator Kennedy reading this is age appropriate. I mean, it's kind of what I'm getting, right? I mean, they were absolutely speechless. And I guess they think that these books don't exist in school. When people learn exactly what is in this and how easily accessed it was, doesn't matter what side of the aisle they're on, the adults are going, oh, what? Wait. It's true. It's absolutely true. So, yeah, we couldn't even play that uncensored on air. Couldn't even play it uncensored on air, but they want it in kids' schools. Telling you what, that's something else. So the New Mexico governor has responded to what she said, what's being characterized as backlash. I love how goofy that is. She's responding to the backlash. This is New Mexico Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham. We talked about this past couple of days after New Mexico, through the governor, threw down this bizarrely unconstitutional gun ban. And she's defending her position. She's doubling and tripling down on it. The emergency order has a 30-day suspension of all guns. It's statewide, but the way that they're wording the language of the ban, it's as it pertains to violent crime, it's really only effective in Bernalillo County, Albuquerque. And she wanted they wanted state police officers to issue civil penalties for anyone found violating terms of the order. You can have fines up to $5,000. Now, some members of law enforcement have absolutely blasted it. Bernalillo County Sheriff John Allen called it unconstitutional, said that it's not enforceable. And he also said that, they're the ones who are always stuck in court and getting sued over infringement when they could be focusing on crime. And Grisham, Lujan Grisham had said, she goes, quote, when she was asked about whether any officer in Albuquerque or the county had enforced the ban, she said no penalties had been issued. She says, quote, this is the pushback I get. It doesn't mean that we don't have additional police presence. My question to law enforcement is, where are you? Well, they're here, but they think you're wrong. She says fewer guns on the street make everyone safer. And then she says, oh, it's the gun lobby, blah, blah. It's not the gun lobby. I mean, I've written about this. This is why you should, again, this is why you need to subscribe to Substack. Chapter and verse, because I went in a piece yesterday. I went over just in addition to the four lawsuits that have been filed, the crime rate. I gave you the receipts on the crime rate and how the DA literally was just dismissing cases and not prosecuting cases and had given a standing order to not prosecute a ton of different misdemeanors. And that contributed to the rising crime rate per the previous Albuquerque police chief. And then when business owners got really upset because looting and like robbing and things like that, like they just weren't prosecuting them, when they got upset and pressed the mayor was like, well, you're going to have to pay more, I guess, if you want a greater police presence, which is racketeering. And then literally at the exact same time, Keller and the Democrat City Council voted to give $250,000 taxpayer dollars to Planned Parenthood when that could have actually been used on, you know, policing. So they've created this. And then now they're acting like you know, they're fighting for public safety because there's so much crime out there. You can't be you can't defend yourself because of all the crime. That's literally their argument. She's not going to win this one. I also we'll talk a little bit, too, about some of the legality of it, because that whole rational bias test that people try to use as a defense of this, we'll deconstruct that, too. We got more on the way.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
I just thought as the vocals started on that song, I'm like, I'm never going to play this song again for a bumper track. It sounds way too millennial, and it also sounds like a douche commercial, and I just can't do it. So, sorry. All right. This, Juan is dying over there because you agree. You totally agree. He totally agrees. Okay, so this guy, this Pennsylvania prisoner, this, he apparently was seen last night. Like, he broke into a home last night. Danilo Cavalcante, 34 years old. He was spotted last night in Chester County, South Coventry Township, 20 miles north of the prison, broke into this house and stole a rifle from the garage of the homeowner, who fired several shots as the fugitive fled. He's still on the run. They found a green sweatshirt and a white t-shirt. So they said that, it looks like he's changing his clothes and he's trying to avoid being captured. So they said that they're still searching. They got a perimeter set up. They said it's a large area that's wooded and there's a lot of hilly terrain. It's not something that they can just send a few people in. So he's got a .22. It's got a scope and a light, according to police. And so they said they sent reverse 911 calls to people within 3 miles, warning them of danger. But that's man alive. I tell you what, they're still looking for that guy. The JFK assassination witness is now offering new details that undermine the magic bullet theory. Apparently, they say that the book is the new account is breaking with the Warren Commission's findings. And they said that a Secret Service agent who witnessed the assassination broke his silence about it, casting doubt on the findings of the commission. Paul Landis, who admitted that he long believed that Oswald had acted alone, now wonders if there may have been additional people involved. He told the New York Times, I'm beginning to wonder. He said his newfound skepticism results from discrepancies between the Warren Commission and his own experiences on the day that it happened. And he said that that's, he's got some doubts now. Let's see. Burbank Mayor Constantine Anthony sparked outrage when he apparently posted video of himself being spanked by a drag queen. I hate Instagram sometimes. And when people who literally like are voters and live in his area responded, he said, "What, are you jealous?" He goes, "No children were in attendance." That doesn't matter. You're the mayor, though. Don't you think you should just have like a little bit? There's just certain things that you just, do you want to have a career or not? I mean, that's kind of the question here. That's the way it goes. And then American Humane Dog Hero Dog Awards, the 2023 awards, they announced top dog finalists ahead of their Veterans Day ceremony. The five hero dog categories are law enforcement, service, therapy, military, and emerging heroes. And these are, it's the American Humane Society, and it's their 2023 Hero Dog Awards. And so it's the award competition. They're recognizing all these. Oh, they have emerging hero and shelter dogs. So they're recognizing heroism in man's best friend. Very cool. Stay with us. We got a lot more in store.
Between Twitter, Facebook, or any of your social media, there's a lot of information out there. That's why your lovable curmudgeon is here to help you make sense of it all. Live or on demand, The Dana Show.
No one is advocating for sexually explicit content to be available in an elementary school library or a children's section of a library. That's a distraction from the real challenge.
No one believes you. I don't believe him. That's appropriately named Dick Durbin, who's saying no one's making that in your schools. No one's doing that. Like, what? I don't think that that's accurate, because that's literally what advocates have been pushing otherwise. Welcome back to the show. The bottom of the second hour. You've got a bunch. I'm just going to ask this question. Why are certain Democrats so weird? So we had this Burbank, California mayor who, well, I had that in my headline. He was a guy who was spanked by a drag queen online, and he posted the video. And then he said that he's not going to take it down and people are just jealous. I guess he just, and there were, it was like his own voters that were raising issue. And it would just seem like that's not the smart thing that you would do if you want a career. And then I don't even know how to, there's this, who is this lady? This Virginia Democrat candidate who, 40-year-old Susanna Gibson, a nurse practitioner, posted romantical times with her husband online. She's running for the House of Delegates. And she was, basically they were getting tip money. She's in a competitive race in suburban Richmond in the 57th district. I'm not going to say the name of this platform. But she streamed these romantical times. Why do they do this? This is like some Hunter Biden stuff. Is it like a fundraiser? Like, what are they doing? Is this how they fundraise now? I'm curious. I mean, it just seems like maybe that's their new, I don't know. Now you can see why these people don't have any problems with some of the stuff that's in schools. They don't care what they put out there. I don't know. I'm trying to get my mind around. You can't. I wanted to get to this yesterday, and we ended up, we had so many other things to hit. I had the headline earlier about how there was the world's biggest lithium reservoir found in a supervolcano in Nevada, and $1.5 trillion of value that this of lithium that this thing is sitting on. And they said, was it 2026? They want to start mining perhaps as early as 2026, right? But that's it's already hung up on, you know, the bureaucratic red tape. And then you have the people who are the people who are environmentalists but not conservationists. They're out there, they're all upset. And they said that the plant is getting, you know, a lot of criticism, and they said it's on sacred Native American land and all this other stuff. Everything's always on something sacred. It's always on. So I don't know. We might just let China go ahead and just have dominion over everything, and then just go and then take over the United States, so that, and then they'll take over your sacred land so that no one else, so you won't have it. I mean, the thing is that this by itself could destabilize China's monopoly on everything. It was formed within the caldera after the last eruption, so there's tons of high lithium concentrations, they said. It was published in Science Advances. And they handpicked all these claystone samples, and they're just chock full of lithium concentrations and all this stuff. So they've, previously, there was some drilling in what's called Thacker Pass. That's owned by Lithium Americas, and they had 13.7 million tons of lithium carbonate equivalent to equivalent and what was previously known as the largest deposit in the U.S. So they are, I mean, there's tons of it in there. They've collected all these core samples, and they tested off the charts, and they're loaded with it. And then there's a lithium rush. And then there's also, check this out, a little tiny Arkansas town. Only 11,000 people are here because they call this white gold. Arkansas sits on a multi-billion dollar mine also of lithium. And yet, I don't know how we're going to approach this, because you have the enviro nut jobs that get involved with everything. I mean, I still think fossil fuels are the way to go. It's the cleanest extraction. We pioneered it. Mining for lithium and these other rare earth elements is way more destructive to the environment, but I digress. I'm also a capitalist. And if people want to do green stuff, then at least let's be self-sufficient with it. At least let's have it be our own stuff. You would think that that's what our energy secretary would talk about. She's been out there pushing. She doesn't know anything about this. Energy Granholm, I'm going to call her that. Secretary of Energy Jennifer Granholm. She set off on this 4-day electric vehicle road trip. It was almost like an unintentional grand tour episode. I mean, the only thing that would have made this better is if Jeremy Clarkson had been there wisecracking throughout the whole thing. So she was going from Charlotte to Memphis, Charlotte, North Carolina to Memphis. And it was a 4-day trip, and it was supposed to draw all the attention of, you know, money and all this stuff that the White House wants to pour into these companies, and, you know, which is totally not capitalist free market, but whatever. And she had a lot of problems with this because she's, it just didn't go well for her. And I think, first off, you had to know that that was going to happen, number one. You had to know that that was going to happen. And then, two, it just, I think it's just perfectly is the avatar for this whole, the whole plan, the whole Green New Plan. It absolutely is. So here we have, she started off with this, and they had a lot of charging problems right off the bat. Like, I think what I was looking at how well into it. I mean, it literally is like Grand Tour. They had to grapple with, they said, the limitations of the present. So they had this caravan of EVs, right? They had a Cadillac Lyriq, a Ford F-150, a Bolt electric utility vehicle. And they were going to fast charge in this suburb of Augusta, Georgia, right? Grovetown. Well, then they get there. They saw that, A, they're not going to have enough plugs to go around to charge their little cars. B, one of the station had four chargers and one of them was broken. C, the others were occupied. So then they tried parking an energy department staffer tried parking a non-electric vehicle by one of the working chargers to reserve a spot. But that went down horribly. And a family called the police because they wanted to charge their car and it was a hot day and they had a baby in the vehicle. So they called the police and the police couldn't do anything because it wasn't, by the way, how much of a sissy are you? You are whining to the police because a gas powered car is parked in front of the electric charging port for the car, for your EV. I mean, that's just such a first world problem. I want to endlessly mock these people, but whatever. They all deserve it. So the sheriff's office had to tell this moronic family, it's not illegal for someone to park here, you absolute loons. And so, but this was the problem that she ran into, right? And so then they dealt with that. Everywhere they went, they had either broken chargers or they weren't able to charge fast because, you know, it's not like 10 minutes or really like a couple of minutes, like if you're putting gas in your car. And it just kind of was a fiasco. It really was a fiasco. And everywhere they went, this is what was happening. So I don't think that you're actually selling anything. Because see, the other problem too is that Americans, I don't think, take road trips like they used to. And a lot of people, when they're in their vehicles, they're just kind of like driving around town. They're just doing like short commutes and things like that. So, and that's, you know, mostly what a lot of drivers do. And when I think it's easier for people to justify EV based on that usage because you don't have to worry about plugging in overnight. But when you're talking about going on road trips like this, it's not practical. And there are real and legitimate concerns, just like her trip highlighted. And you can't say, oh, well, the infrastructure is lacking. The infrastructure is exactly in response to what the real market is. Not everybody's driving these damn EVs on road trips and things like that. They're just not. And they don't consider it practical. And, you know, places where they don't have it, people aren't going to have an overabundance of something where that, you know, in an area where there isn't a need for it. So I think it's actually, I don't think that there's anything wrong with the infrastructure. I think that it is, I think it's directly proportional to what the real market is. But drivers, I think, have every bit, you know, they want to know how is this going to work if you go on a road trip? Like, how are you, it's just not feasible. It's not practical. So she actually, I think, undercut her whole mission. It was funny. And it amazes me that neither her nor any of the people that were involved in her caravan, none of them thought ahead, like, well, what happens if we are out of an urban area and we are, or suburban area, and we are no longer near where we can easily charge, etc. They didn't think about any of that. This is not stuff that they think about. Not at all. Now, a couple of other things to touch on here. This as I roll. Why is everything so slow? The money. Everyone talks about grant money and welfare spending on foreign entities. This was, I was looking at this, it's usaspending.gov, and it highlighted that the Department of State awarded over $20,000 to International Foundation for Crime Prevention and Victim Care to promote safe and respectful workspaces for all genders in India. I'd never even heard that our tax dollars went to this. Did you? It's true. It's usaspending.gov, and it said that it was a public diplomacy program. And it was $20,000 some odd, the obligated amount, $20,391, to promote safe and respectful workspaces for all genders. Why are we spending money, but you only get $700 one time, people in Maui? Just, why are we spending this for, because they got, I mean, surely they have the money and they have the ability to do this, but why are we spending this kind of money in India? Who got this? I'm going to put this in an email prep because this is a fascinating website to kind of go through and see exactly who's spending what in what district. It was very enlightening. You're going to go down a rabbit hole, as I did.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Mm-hmm. All right. So first up. This Florida man stole an excavator and then decided to Kool-Aid man through it through a Walmart wall. You know what I mean, right? Like he busted the wall. Gainesville, Florida. Dude's in custody after police say that he straight up stole an excavator and then drove it through not one, but two buildings. Woo-wee! They said that they located a storage unit and that the suspect also drove through. So add that to it. And they said that, yeah, he drove right through the wall of a Walmart. And it's like Florida man versus the Walmart wall. Like, why in the world did he, could he not drive it? It happened in the evening. The police had a bunch of pictures. It's from Click Orlando. He went on this like joyride on a stolen excavator, but I don't think he like could actually drive it really. The department did not release his name or age, but they did say that the person was in custody. You know, it is a dude. Come on. Well, no, drove like a woman, so could be, just saying. But, went through, so two buildings in a storage unit. So just want to make sure we get it all right. Oh, my gosh. That's just too, it's, yeah. So he's in a lot of trouble with that one. All right, this Florida man who, this is a sad story. I don't want to read any sad stories. Let's do the DUI golf cart. This 20-year-old was, I get it, like golf carts, but I've also had stories, Florida man stories, where a guy has been given a DUI and a lawnmower and also a horse. So a 20-year-old was pulled over by police after reports came in of a drunken golf cart driver leaving the gas station. It was in Key West, Monroe County. So this 20-year-old dude was arrested over this past weekend. They said he was intoxicated during a traffic stop. They said that James Jackson from Key West was pulled over at 5 p.m. on U.S. Highway 1. He was driving a Key West Golf Club golf cart. And he was stopped after people were calling the police saying, there is a drunk guy driving a golf cart. Y'all need to be looking into this. And so they found a number of opened and unopened bottles of alcoholic drinks. What kind? In the golf cart. And they had dents and bent portions of the golf cart, along with a portion of the windshield missing, tons of damage to the front tire. So, the Key West police, they were investigating reports of damage done earlier in the day to the golf club course with a stolen golf cart. So they arrested this guy, charged him with DUI, larceny, vehicle theft, criminal mischief, property damage, possession of alcohol while underage, and he also had a fake ID. So they put it up on their Facebook page. They said that they are also looking into the damage that was done at the golf course as well. That's like pretty ballsy though to get caught drunk driving a golf cart. Cause how fast do they go? Like what? 25 miles per hour, Steve? How fast do golf cars go? Oh, not even that. Yeah. You're not going to get away. I'm just like, I'm mystified like as to how, I mean, you think that you're not going to be easily seen. I'm just trying. I'm trying to figure out how that happens. Let's see. A feud over a television led to the arrest of another dude. This because, you know, families argue over changing the channels, right? So this a man who had a standoff with police, Margate Police, responded to a domestic disturbance call between two siblings, and they got into a fight over changing the channel. And then one sibling assaulted the other sibling. They were two brothers. And they said that upon arrival, officers spoke to the victim. He told officers the dispute escalated quickly. And then the victim was struck forcefully in the back of the head with a remote control. They ran downstairs. The other brother followed suit, shouting angrily. They called 911, and then a brother and a sister. So then the brother grabbed a stone and began chasing her. Then he took her phone, disconnected her call. I mean, this went back and forth. And then he had a little standoff with police with the remote control and the stone. The rock. He had a big rock. Of course he was arrested. Golly. Just, you know, it's a television channel. Just, you know, compromise. Third hour on the way.
It's but disgusting. We also have, Governor, the Constitution of New Mexico and the Constitution of the United States, and you're an attorney. Do you think you're on solid constitutional ground here?
Well, we're going to see. I mean, look, I wouldn't do it if I didn't think I had the right. I have the right.
Where is the right? Where is the
right?
In
the state of New Mexico, public health, it's a suspension. It's not a ban. And we'll see what all of these court actions do. And I did say publicly, Poppy, look, I got a Supreme Court that says my personal bodily autonomy can be restricted. And yet NRA and other issues on the Second Amendment keeps getting broadened. So the Bruin case in New York, right, that deals with concealed carry and cases in Texas
and that's
that say
actually,
you can
Governor,
be
what
a,
I'm talking
drug.
About. You bring up the Bruin case, the Supreme Court last year. Let me just ask you this, because the Supreme Court last year totally changed what we're allowed to do, what you're allowed to do. And they said, unless you can base it in the history and tradition, you don't have grounds to do something like this. The New Mexico Constitution, I looked last night, Article 2, Section 6 says this, quote, no law shall abridge the right of citizens to keep and bear arms for security and defense. No municipality or county shall regulate in any way any incident of the right to keep and bear arms. Are you not in violation of both the U.S. Constitution and your state's constitution?
I don't believe that we are. And if that narrow reading of the Constitution, which has been tested in the state, we wouldn't have universal background checks. We wouldn't have a waiting period. We wouldn't have a red flag law. We wouldn't have prohibitions for straw purchases. None of those would have been deemed constitutional. And today, all of them are.
They were before the Supreme Court.
Absolute right discussions. Fair, but they haven't been tested again.
Okay.
Oh my gosh, I could say I'm going to give credit here. I don't know how my mouth is going to form the words. That host That host from CNN was actually doing a good job. Oh my gosh. Of questioning the New Mexico governor there. I got through it. Welcome back to the show. Dana Lash here with you. Top of this third hour. And it's true. I could spend the next week just beating the hell out of what she just said. It's so wrong. And I thought it was a very interesting point that she brought up with regard to Bruin as well. This New Mexico governor, by the way, who had passed this gun ban. I've written about it over at Substack. By the way, you can sign up over there. Get all this stuff. Listen to the stream of the radio show, YouTube, Facebook, Channel 347 DirecTV for the simulcast as well if you're not listening terrestrially across the country. She's getting a lot of pushback, Lauren Grisham is, and the point that was being brought up there, I think it was Poppy Harlow? Yeah. Which, I got to give credit, like I said, we're due. She was making a decent point, especially on the topic of Bruin, because she's saying that in order for, and this is ultimately what SCOTUS had ruled, you know, if you're going to try to argue for some sort of restriction, you have to point to previously in history where this has been applied or this has been part of America's history on firearm regulation before. And, you know, like I think red flag are unconstitutional. Red flag laws are unconstitutional because it dilutes due process And in almost every single instance, it actually reduces the evidentiary standard that is required in order to deprive someone of their constitutional rights. And a right delayed is a right denied. She can try to play semantics here and say that it's temporary. Thus, the temporariness doesn't make it a ban, but it is absolutely a ban because you for 30 days. And remember, this is conditional upon whether or not she thinks it should continue. There is no guaranteed end to it. So, you know, I would then do the semantics right back at her and say, well, really, you know, that's it's temporary and it's at your discretion. So technically it's permanent until you say otherwise. So it's a ban. But for all intents and purposes, it is a ban. It's going to be viewed as a ban and it's going to be treated as a ban. And whether or not it was permanent or temporary, that had no measure on the Fifth Circuit on the rent moratorium with CDC when they were trying to use the public health emergency excuse as well. But she's in the soundbite. She's trying to say that, you know, well, I have the constitutional right to do it because of this other stuff, you know, straw purchases, et cetera. Well, that's 18 U.S.C. 922 alphabet, because that's already federally regulated. And you're confusing federal law with state law. So she's trying to say that somehow that they were able to do regulations on straw purchases at the state level, and that means that the Second Amendment is an absolute. Well, you're conflating what already is federal law already, and trying to own that as state law and act like that's a new thing that justifies you making up new regulations, and it doesn't. Her thing, though, I'm going to touch on this. I wrote about this. Let me pull this up with Bruin, because the edict, the whole point of this, and she was, you know, she's insisting that an increase in violent crime should prevent the law abiding from any ability to defend themselves, and which is really weird. And if you cannot point to how it's part of the country's history with firearm law, you can't then say that it's constitutional or allowable. And the whole rational bias testing, that whole thing was absolutely destroyed by Justice Thomas when he wrote the opinion in Bruin. And that is, you know, the whole idea that, well, if you this historical precedent, I mean, there's never been, oh, here's our public health emergency. We're going to go ahead and deprive you of your rights, your Second Amendment rights. That's never been historically part of America's dealing with regulating firearms. It's never been. I mean, in fact, Hurricane Katrina is in direct contravention of that. So it doesn't make any sense. It's that whole interest balancing thing. In fact, I think it was in McDonald v. Chicago and Columbia v. Heller. Justice Thomas noted in Bruin, he goes, quote, "Today we decline to adopt this two-part approach." I mean, he destroys her argument that she's trying to make here in defense of this. And it was characterized as casual disregard for the Second Amendment, wherein they treat it like an orphan amongst rights, and that's what Thomas had noted. So there was more of this too, because Audio Soundbite 3, she was asked about the police, specifically the Bernalillo County, in the county in which Albuquerque is in. You had that sheriff there come out and say that it was unconstitutional. And also in a separate press conference, he said that he was sidelined, that he had no idea that she was going to do this, and also that it's not enforceable. And listen, when she's asked about what police have been saying about this and the pushback that she's been getting, listen to what the governor says here.
Why do it if it can't be enforced?
Well, that's their opinion. They have no bold actions. They don't have any plans for reducing gun violence. Every single aspect in terms of preventing gun violence, funds, crime labs, more than $150 million for retention bonuses and recruitment of new police officers.
So she did not have an issue with enforcement or security or protecting lives only up until now. She did not have a problem with it when the crime wave started back in 2014 with the previous DA in Albuquerque, Raul Torres, who's now the Attorney General of New Mexico. This governor didn't have a problem with all the crime wave that was building She didn't have a problem. She never made any reference to the previous police chief in Albuquerque saying that the way that the DA handles cases, dismissing cases, the speeding things through the court so that they can specifically reduce the prison population. That was his direct quote. The latter part of that. She never mentioned that as a contributing cause to the rising crime. She didn't mention the standing order that came from leadership and supported by Albuquerque Mayor Tim Keller, the current DA as well, a guy that she handpicked, who they don't want to prosecute a number of misdemeanors because they just, you know, they don't have time to deal with it, et cetera. Well, you're creating this environment of lawlessness. Businesses started complaining. And that's when Mayor Tim Keller said, well, if you want additional police protection, if you want police protection, you're going to have to pay extra. If you want expanded police protection, he pressured business owners. And this comes by a couple of different sources, and I have this linked at Substack. He was pressuring business owners to foot the bill for greater police presence in the crime-infested downtown area. He said that even though taxes already pay for police protection, I mean, that's what they're supposed to, it's become such a bad area of criminality because, and they were even paying for out-of-pocket private security because the mayor issued a stand-on order for police to not pursue misdemeanor crimes. A number of most misdemeanor crimes across the city do not pursue. And so when they say that they're resource constrained, they were saying that crime is a shared responsibility. And that justifies their request that businesses should pay extra for it. Even though the city of Albuquerque increased its annual budget by 20%, 3 million of that went to free busing via the conservative New Mexican. Another 250,000. That's what was approved by their city council to go tax dollars to go towards Planned Parenthood. So that's what they're spending their money on. They just don't want to do anything about the crime. She never had any concern with this. And this was also happening on her watch. She didn't have any concern at all whatsoever with that. She didn't want to talk about the crime. She didn't want to talk about any of that. So that's why I can't take her seriously here. And neither should you. This is ridiculous. You can't take her seriously. So there's four lawsuits that have been filed by two organizations, actually three, and then one private citizen. And you've had New Mexico state reps Stephanie Lord and John Block calling for her resignation. And you know that in New Mexico, their legislature, absolutely, they do have the authority to remove her from office. And when she sits here and lectures, oh, I don't have to take lecture, or when she says she doesn't have to take lectures on constitutionality, you sure as hell do, Governor. You sure as hell do. You have to. I mean, I think that their sheriff apparently knows more about how government works in New Mexico than Sheriff John Allen, than the governor. I mean, I think it's interesting, too, because Allen's like, oh, well, basically, he intimated that she's just doing this for attention. You know, I mean, how does this help law abiding citizens by saying the crime is so bad you can't defend yourself? When at the same time, you literally said that there isn't anything else that you can do for police resources, even though you increased your budget for Albuquerque by 20%, you started spending on entitlement stuff and Planned Parenthood. How does that help law abiding people? And you even have Albuquerque's chief of police that they were kind of like, how is that? I love, by the way, how the mayor is acting like he doesn't know what's going on here. And some people are even saying, oh, she threw him under the bus. She didn't throw him under anywhere. OK, if he's under the bus, he needed to go there. She does, too. This is not going to make it through the courts. It's not going to make it through the courts for Bruin, number one. It's not going to make it through the courts because Bruin. There is literally nothing in America's history about this that supports this being done. There's no rational bias here. We're not doing the interest balancing. We're not doing any of that. It's not going to happen. Just because of Heller, because of Bruin, and also the use of public health emergencies. I do kind of think in some respects that it's kind of a test run to see what you can use as a public health emergency and what you can't. We already found out through the circuit courts that you can't do it with rent moratorium through the CDC. You're not going to be able to do it with Second Amendment stuff here. And I do, again, I want to caution you. The only reason I think that some Democrats are actually pushing back against this is because her error here blew up their whole thing of ban and taking and seizing arms by incrementally done.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Ooh, the iPhone 15 is officially unveiled, and you can get in line for pre-orders now. Now, I know you're like, Dana, seriously. I'm just saying because my phone is totally jacked. Like, it's like the little lens is cracked and it's like got serious problems and I have to get a new one anyway and it's totally covered, but that's okay. And I'm a gadget freak. But the iPhone 15 has a 6.1-inch display, 100%. I don't care about the recycled cobalt. I don't care if it's made by eagles that are retrofitted with, like, golden talons and it has diamonds in it and it has gluten. I don't care. I'm a capitalist and I like gadgets. Anyway, you can actually purchase it on September 15th, but you got to get in line, like digital line, you know what I mean? So, very interesting. I don't really care. It has, like, a USB. I don't care. It's a new phone. It's out there. They have the new watches and all that stuff coming too. So if you want deets, Google it because we have other headlines to hit here as well. I know you're like, thanks, Dana, so much. Mickey D's is going to end the self-serving soda machine because apparently it's grody. They said that, it's theft, but it's grody, hygiene concerns. They said the days of self-serve fountain soda are numbered at McD's. They're phasing out the do-it-yourself stations. And over the next decade, they will be eliminated entirely. They said that they're concerned about hygiene theft and consumer eating habits. I think they are nasty. Have you ever been to one? Like, I have major problems going to, like, this is why I bring a tumbler of either ice water or diet soda. I will say soda. Diet soda with me because I just can't deal with the self. That's the one part of the germophobic aspect of myself that I've never been able to get over. So, just, FYI. Let's see. Also, this is crazy. Listen to this. So, this has to do with sofas. They're saying that nobody's buying sofas. And because no one's buying sofas, they think that it's a very bad sign. It comes as elevated mortgage rates have slowed the housing market. And they're saying that, we got huge losses and this means a stalling housing market. And this is measured by nobody buying sofas. That's one thing I never actually would have thought of, right? Would you ever think of that? Like, people aren't buying sofas. And so that means that they said the revenue is down 36%. Sofas. I know. It's crazy. We got a lot more on the way. Stick with us.
To catch up on all the headlines and crazy wokery, download the Dana Show podcast and get Dana's perspective on the Dana Show.
Let me be clear. I hold my standards high, and I do not or never will hedge on what is right. And I take my oath seriously. In reference to concealed carry and open carry, the Bernalillo County Sheriff's Office will not enforce this segment of the order. While I understand the urgency, the temporary ban challenges the foundations of our Constitution, but most importantly, it is unconstitutional.
Good for him. I just don't think I can play that enough. That's the Bernalillo County Sheriff saying, yeah, it ain't gonna happen. Y'all, we ain't gonna be doing this. Good for him for saying that about New Mexico. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. One quick thing, then I'm gonna jump to some other stuff because I love the anti-Second Amendment grifter Twitter or X. Is it X? It's X now. It's weird to say X because I don't think it like computes the same. It doesn't, people don't recognize it as fast. But I saw so many of these goofy arguments yesterday, like in defense of what this governor's trying to do and, applying it to. Trying to apply it to their particular state, et cetera. And then you had Mehdi Hasan who said that, how did he say? He goes, well, if we're playing the, and he's a MSNBC host. He goes, well, if we're playing the make up your own interpretation of the Constitution, then plenty of folks who say open carry and concealed carry are not protected with the Second Amendment, or at least per the framers' original intent. No, absolutely not. Per the framers' original intent, the whole of the citizenry. And a lot of people on the left try to say that this is a bastardized version of Mason's quote, and it so is not. I will beat you to death with your own words. It's every man and woman that constitutes the militia. And Washington even offered to pay recruits who came to the revolutionary Washington's army with their own arms. Like, you will get something extra if you come with your own guns. Like, they worked with different people, different colonists, just to make sure they had cannons, for crying out loud. You know, what gets me about all of this is that the asinine hot take here is that somehow people think that our founders, after having fought, you know, the Revolutionary War, the War of Independence, that they would, we would somehow want to create a standing army by having it to where only the government controls who doesn't and does have arms. It doesn't make any sense. That's, it's like people really need the, they need to read the Federalist Papers, number one. They think that just because they go to Daily Coast and they read some hot takes, that that's going to be, that that's all that is required to complete the extent of their knowledge on the Second Amendment. I mean, the founders were very, they went back and forth on a number of things. And the Federalist Papers also gives further insight into this. I mean, it was one of the, Hamilton was even arguing this, and I don't think it was 29. I read it just the other day again when writing a piece. But Hamilton was even arguing how, you know, you can't have, you don't want a standing army. And having the government control arms is essentially equivalent to having a standing army. I mean, that's, they just fought to unburden themselves from that. So why would they establish it with firearm regulations in that manner? It's completely opposite of what, not only what the founders intended, you don't even have to guess at what they intended. You can read their damn writings. The minutes of debate, you can read their essays. You can, I mean, they were very wordy people. They wrote a lot about it. We understand all of this. I mean, Washington literally took an army of scribes with him everywhere. So he believed that what was happening in the founding of the country was so incredibly important. He wanted to make sure that it was preserved for history. And he was incredibly wordy. The founders were wordy. I mean, good heavens. They not only argued with each other in person, but they argued with each other in writing. So we don't have to guess as to what their intent was. We don't have to sit here and speculate as to whether or not they were aware of the potential with firearms and the progression. We knew that, number one, the often discussed, and I've written two books about it, the Puckle gun, the Belton gun, the Kentucky rifle, rifling alone. Never forget that Jefferson owned a particular rifle that was later adopted into the Austrian military. So we knew, they knew that there were, that that colonists had, quote unquote, military grade, military like, etc., firearms, and they knew the potential and the progress that was going to be developed with arms. They were aware of all of this. We don't have to speculate. We know. We read it. We're informed. We're educated. It's not my problem that some goon wants to be a moron about what they are afforded in terms of civil or natural rights. And I'm not going to be shackled by someone else's ignorance. And neither should you. Someone else's ignorance on what the Constitution affirms as their natural right does not put a shackle on your wrist. And people shouldn't live like that. So I get really aggravated when I see bad takes about this stuff that get out there. That's what Mehdi Hasan was talking about is that's what a lack of education looks like. We know, per the founders' intention, we know exactly what they had said. We know what they meant. They left it in no uncertain terms. There's no guessing about this. This idea that, well, it's only the, or what do you mean by well-regulated? The parlance of the time, well-regulated, means in fighting order. It does not mean in government administration. I mean, for crying out loud, Jane Austen used the phrase when she was talking about matters of the heart. She wasn't talking about government administration, you illiberal, unread morons. She was not talking about that. Good grief. Okay, I think I've gotten that out of my system. So Nike, which I really don't care about, but I do think that this is kind of interesting. The big store that they had, their iconic, because that was like their big, that's where they were founded, their iconic Portland store is officially closed because of rampant crime and theft. Now, they were hoping, and we know this because they talked about it previously, they were hoping to reopen the location, but they temporarily closed it earlier this year, temporarily. Now it's officially closed. They could not, they went to great lengths to try to salvage the store. They sent a letter to the Portland mayor. They were asking city officials, can we please, for the love of all things holy, get some more police presence to combat ongoing retail theft? And the company was even open to creating what they called an intergovernmental agreement with Portland to fund full-time police officers in addition to the taxes they paid for the existing police. Still wasn't working. Williamette Week calls it a, quote, major economic blow. They said everyone had been holding their breath when they temporarily shuttered their doors. And now they're closed. Unbelievable. This is restorative justice. You don't even have to have bad economic conditions to implement this. You just have to have restorative justice. This is exactly what I'm talking about. This is what businesses, just going back to Albuquerque real quickly, this is what they were worried about. This is why they were begging Tim Keller, the mayor, can we have some additional help? They even paid for private security. They were saying, we need more. Our private security can arrest people. The police can. I mean, can we arrest the people that are breaking into our stores and stealing things? This was despite the stand down order telling police to not pursue most misdemeanors. And then you wonder why. They sent money to Planned Parenthood instead. So there's not going to be, Jackie Heinrich reports, there's no briefing today, no press briefing today from the White House. You're not going to see the illustrious KJP. And she says there's no briefing scheduled for this week yet either. It's Tuesday. It's in the late afternoon on Tuesday. And still, there is no briefing scheduled for this week yet either. This was after it was asked whether or not how KJP was going to answer the question of Biden claiming without evidence that he was at ground zero on the day after 9/11 or any question on his trip to Vietnam. This, I think, signals how horrifically bad it was. Ooh, that they don't have a briefing today and nothing scheduled yet for this week. That's really bad. Gee, I wonder why, with the most transparent administration in history, everyone. I wanted to play this audio for you as well. This was very interesting, and this just came while we were on, I think it was our last, or just our last break. So the State Department, this is a video that has the spokesperson for the State Department was going back and forth with a reporter. And the reporter asked how much taxpayer money went to the Wuhan Institute of Virology and its collaborators. And apparently Miller freaked out at said reporter. Listen to this exchange.
How much money went from USAID to this, to the work at Wuhan and to their collaborator, Ralph Barrick, at the University of North Carolina, to collect and make coronaviruses that are weaponized, that are more deadly?
So I, first of all, reject the implicit accusation in that question, and I do not have at my finger. I do not have at my fingertips the particular details of USAID.
Are you saying for certain? Are you saying for certain that no USAID money went to the Wuhan Institute of Virology?
The question. Go ahead.
No, please tell me. Are you stating that no USAID money went?
I will say I am happy to take questions from those in this audience. I'm happy to answer them. I appreciate that they treat every person in this room, including myself, respectfully. I called on you. I'm now calling on someone else. Go ahead.
Me respectfully. Please tell me, what are you denying?
Go ahead.
What
please.
Is your denial? It's a non-denial denial.
Wow. He knows. He's just not going to say anything. But, you know, super transparent. He knows. The spokesperson for the Biden State Department, he knows, Matt Miller, that was actually a worse job than KJP could have done. They aren't going to answer any questions. And then they have the audacity to present the reporter actually doing their job as though that's the rude behavior. Stunning.
Catch The Dana Show noon to 3 p.m. Eastern on DirecTV Channel 347.
Make sure you go find us on Facebook and YouTube. Like and subscribe. Always good stuff that's up there. And find us on Substack. Chapter and Verse. That's the newsletter that goes out regularly. And you get the prep stuff. You get all that good stuff that goes out. And deep dives on issues as well. So we'll be following all this fun stuff. Oh, my goodness. Because you got the house swinging into gear. You also have this. I don't know when. If they're not going to have a presser, no briefing today with Karine Jean-Pierre. I mean, you know that was going to be the question that everybody was going to ask about his lie on, you know, where he was the day after 9/11. You knew that was going to be, and now they can't ask him. They can't ask her about any other stuff because they're not having. They don't have anything on the schedule for the rest of the week either. Just seems like it's a little. Sounds like they're hiding from something. I mean, you would think it sounds like they just don't want to deal with the press. I don't know. So McCarthy is going for the impeachment inquiry, which I think it's smart that he's done it. But what happens with it, that's going to be something else entirely. So he had said, we play this coming into the show, that he's directing the House committee to open the formal impeachment inquiry. And these are legitimate things. This isn't just accusations that are baseless and have no bearing in evidence. I mean, these are things where there actually is a smoking gun here. I mean, good grief. I mean, you could, there's not just with the suspicious activity reports, but all of the receipts from that, all of the emails, all of the texts that Hunter Biden so helpfully, you know, provided when he decided to leave his cracked out Hunter Biden, leave his laptop everywhere. So, I mean, there's a lot of evidence here. There really is. Now, Comer is all starting to tie it together. And it looks like a lot of the discussions about getting Viktor Shokin removed, that's like one of the, that's like a common thread that really does help tie all of this together very nicely and neatly. So now they have this power. Now they have the official impeachment inquiry. Then they can now force these, go after these federal offices that have not been wanting to hand over records, right? So see, this is why there's a whole process to it, because you have the FBI that's been withholding. There was the Treasury with different flag documents. Well, now that if they have this official inquiry, it's all official and all above board, these agencies now got to play ball. And I hope that the Republicans hit hard. I hope they serve hard, because that's what they're going to have to do here. So there may be, now that you have an actual official impeachment process underway, that provides a little bit more protection to these whistleblowers. I'm sure that there are others out there, because the reason that we know all this now is because of these whistleblowers that are coming out. We'll follow this. I almost took Steve. Steve's in for Kane. Kane's in tomorrow. Today in stupidity, I think I robbed you.
No, you're good. John Fetterman's back today. Did you know that?
Oh, that's right. Cargo shorts and
yeah.
all.
Yeah, and someone asked him about the impeachment inquiry, and I don't know if he still has some problems going on. But this one.
What about this news that Speaker McCarthy has formally launched an impeachment inquiry? Has said he's going to.
Oh, my God, really? Oh, my gosh. You know, oh, it's devastating. Ooh, don't do it. Please don't do it. Oh, no. Oh, no.
Oh, my gosh. Guys, that's so weird. Who is worse off, him or Biden? If you had to vote, like if there's like an official vote, who'd you? Just curious. All right, folks, sign up for the newsletter, Chapter and Verse. We got a lot more coming at you tomorrow. Have a great night. I'll be back behind the mic with you tomorrow afternoon.